Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we will conclude our investigation of the jinn. This is the creatures which never exist except in the words of Allah in the Quran. So, without further ado, let us move on to Quran chapter 41 and verse 25. For there we read, and we will appoint companions for them, so they beautify to them what is between their hands and what is behind them. And the word was established against them in the nations which have passed away before them from the jinn and the humans. Surely they were losers. Now, when you read a verse like that in the Quran, you will not have any clue what Allah is talking about, because we do not know who are them, who are they, and who beautified what. Let me help you out to explain to you what Allah said according to the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. Once again, here is what Allah said in Quran chapter 41 and verse 25. And we here is Allah, will appoint companions for them. Who are the companions? These are the demons. These are Satans. For them, who are them? These are the infidels. So Allah will appoint the demons or the devils for the infidels. What will these companions do? It is very simple. So they beautify to them what is between their hands and what is behind them. Meaning Satan and his demons will tempt the people who did not believe in Allah by making the evil thing look good. So now they will cause the people who did not believe in Islam, the infidels, to sin against Allah. And because of that, the word of Allah will be established. What is the word of Allah? Surely I will fill hell with the human and the jinn. Imagine with me. Muslim cannot see anything wrong with that verse, even though the verse is telling me that Allah causes the demons to tempt people with evil. What is the evil? Makes them do the wrong things, committing indecency, sinning against Allah, so they can be found guilty, so that Allah will send them to hell. This is the Allah which Muslims people believe and worship. Now I know that Allah is Satan. Now let's continue with the verse. The word was established against them in the nations which have passed away before them from the jinn and the humans. Now the infidels who did not believe in Muhammad, who were deceived because Allah causes the demons to do so, will spend eternity with the previous humans and the previous jinn. Those are the jinn who did not believe in their messengers, who recited for them the words of Allah. As we have seen before, the jinn are just like humans. They have their prophets, and some of them are believers. These are the good Muslims, and others who are infidels. All the infidels among the humans and the jinn will spend eternity together in hell. The verse ended by saying, surely they were losers. No, I believe the losers here is Allah himself. Because now I know from the reading of Quran 41 and verse 25 that Allah is Satan. Because once again, the God of the Bible never tempt anyone, and he never tempt with evil. The God of the Bible will do everything he can to guide the lost one, the infidels, to believe in him. Not causes the demons to make people sin against him so they can spend eternity in hell. Let's move on together to Quran chapter 41 and verse 29. For there we read, And those who became infidels said, "Our Lord, show us those of the jinn and the humans who led us astray. We will put them under our feet that they may be among the lowest." What a strange verse. Once again, a reading to such verse will not help us to understand what Allah is talking about. But from the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri, we learn that the infidels, those who did not believe in Allah, those who did not believe in Muhammad, are saying, imagine that was me. What they will be saying in the day of judgment after being in hell is already recorded for us in Quran chapter 41 and verse 29. And here is what they say, "Our Lord." They're calling Allah our Lord, when I know that the Lord of those who are in hell is Satan himself. But continue with the verse, "Show us those of the jinn and the humans who led us astray." Who are the jinn? Amazingly, Al-Tabri said that is Iblis, Satan himself. Wait a minute, I thought that Satan is not of the jinn as we have discovered earlier, but now somehow Muslim scholars forgot that the Quran declared that Satan is not of the jinn. Why? Let me remind you, because the jinn believe and disbelieve. The ones who believe of the jinn are called Muslims, and Satan could never be a Muslim. Jinn also die, but Satan does not die. And now we know the jinn which the Quran is talking about is actually Satan. What about the humans? Even though the word is written in a plural, but somehow Al-Tabri said that is the son of Adam. Which one? The one who killed his brother. You know, he could not even come up with the name, because as you read the Quran, you will never know who did what. Which one of the sons of Adam killed who? And we do not even know why. But then we continue. It says, "We will put them under our feet." What does he mean by under the feet? I mean, they're all in hell. Oh, no. You have to understand now. Al-Tabri gave you a better interpretation. For he said, they meant in the other hell, under the hell where the infidels live. Why is that? Because as we shared with you before, there are actually seven hells. The lower you go, the hotter it is. Somehow Muhammad has this great imagination that the infidels who did not believe in him will be asking Allah to put Satan and the son of Adam who killed his brother below them, meaning in the lower hell, to be punished with greater fire than the fire which they will be spent eternity in. What a great imagination. Let's move on to another chapter of the Quran to learn about the jinn, and that is Quran chapter 46 and verse 29, where we learn about the Muslim believers among the jinn. Yes, indeed. Remember we said that some of them believe and some are infidels. Here are the Muslim believers of the jinn. For Allah stated, "And when we turned a company of the jinn toward you, they listened to the Quran. So when they arrived there, they said, 'Listen.' So when he finished, they returned to their people, warning them." Wow. From listening to the Quran to believing in the Quran, and now they themselves became messengers to the rest of their people. What people? The people of the jinn. And here is the interpretation of Al-Tabri. "And when we," that is Allah, "turned a company of the jinn," Allah sent some of the jinn toward you, that is toward Muhammad. "They listened to the Quran." Obviously, only Muhammad have his Quran. "So when they arrived there," that is where Muhammad was, and Muhammad was reciting the Quran, "they said, 'Listen.' So when he finished," I understand now, why Allah changed "you" to "he"? It's supposed to be, "So when you finished," when you finish reading your Quran, Muhammad. No. Somehow Allah forgot that he was talking about Muhammad in the pronoun "you," and now he's talking about Muhammad in the pronoun "he." What a strange way of Allah speaking in the Quran. Anyway, "So when he," that is Muhammad, "finished, they returned to their people." So now we know that jinn have their own people. Not other jinns, but somehow they have their own people. That is another error. Allah should have said, they returned to their jinn, not to their people, because jinn is one thing and people is another thing. But anyway, we continue warning them. Yes, indeed, the jinn returned to the other jinn, warning them about doing what is right. Believe in Allah, believe in Muhammad, and be good Muslims.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Let's move on to another verse. That is Quran chapter 51 and verse 56. Notice here what Allah said. The reason Allah created the jinn and the people to do one thing. Here is the word of Allah. And I have not created the jinn and the humans except to serve me. Wow. Allah created all the jinn and all the humans to serve him? Yes, indeed. And now let us look at the interpretation of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri, because even a simple verse like that, we see that Muslim scholars disagree. What did Allah actually mean by that? So we have two different opinions. The first one is, Allah does not actually mean all the jinn and all the humans will serve Allah, but only the happy ones among them. Excuse me. Why in the world do you come up with this interpretation? The verse is very clear. And I have not created the jinn and the humans except to serve me. End of story. No. Why is that? Because if you said that, that means no humans and no jinn will go to hell. Because if that's what Allah meant, that means all of them will make it to the paradise. But that's not the case. And now you go to the other interpretation of the rest of the scholars, who will tell you, no, he made them serve him, like it or not, love it or not. So everyone must serve Allah. But somehow Al-Tabari goes with the first group, not the second group. What a ridiculous interpretation to a clear verse. By the way, notice here Allah said, I and me, not we and us. Which means Allah here lost his dignity as a king. The majesty of his talk has changed. No, my friends, all over the Quran, you see Allah said, I as much as Allah said, we, and me as much as he said, us. Let's move on to another verse to learn more about the jinn. And that is Quran chapter 55 and verse 33. That is where Allah said, O you company of the jinn and the human, if you can overpass the bounds of the heavens and the earth, so then overpass them. You will not pass them except with authority. Muslim scholars gave us literally 8 or 9 different interpretations about what Allah meant by what he said. I'm not going to even waste my time to tell you about these opinions. Because here I see Allah speaking to the jinn and to the human as if he himself is just another man. I mean, he's challenging him to do something he will not allow him to do unless he gives him the right to do it. Really? Is that what we learn from the Quran? That Allah is telling them, you cannot do it unless I let you do it? Anyway, let's move on to another verse, which is verse 39. So on that day, neither human nor jinn will be asked about his sin. Once again, Muslim scholars disagree about what Allah meant by that. In one way, it says that Allah will not ask the angels to ask these criminals of the humans and the jinn about their sin, because Allah already kept it on a record and he does not need to make any investigation to their sins. Or the other interpretation is that they will not be asked because they will not be able to speak, because Allah sealed their lips. But somehow their hands and their skins will be speaking out loud and they will tell everything about their sins. So I don't know which interpretation is the accurate one. Will Allah not ask them to speak about their sins because he has their sins on record? Or because they will not be able to speak, but somehow their hands and their skin will be speaking instead of their mouths and their lips? And now let me read to you the last portion of our study concerning the jinn, and that is in the chapter of the jinn. Yes, indeed, Quran chapter 72 is named the book of the jinn. And here is what Allah said, beginning from verse 1. Say, it was revealed to me that a company of the jinn listened, so they said, surely we have heard a wonderful Quran. Here Allah is asking Muhammad to let everybody know about the new Muslim believers of the jinn, those who heard the Quran and they love it because the Quran is so wonderful. In verse 2, it guides to the right way. What guide? What? Oh, the Quran guides the jinn to the right way. So we believed in it. Yes, indeed, the jinn believed in the Quran. And we will not partner anyone with our Lord. They're not going to be mushrikeen. They're not going to associate any other God with their Lord. Before I read to you verse 3 and the following verses, let me read to you the bold statement which I wrote in my translation. For there we read, God, that is Allah, has no wife or son. Muhammad's limited understanding of God's nature as revealed in the Bible caused him, that is Muhammad, to reach an erroneous conclusion that this was a literal earthly type of father-son relationship, one conceived of a physical union. That is Allah married to the Virgin Mary, get her pregnant, and now she has the son of Allah, Isa, son of Mary. In verse 3 we read, and that he is exalted much. Our Lord did not take a female companion nor a son. Guess who is speaking here? The jinn. The jinn who heard the Quran, who believed in the Quran to be a wonderful book. Those who became a Muslims are telling everybody today, as they have done it in the past, Allah did not have a wife. Allah does not have a son. Jesus is not the son of God. Imagine with me, Muslims believe in Islam to be true because they listen to the teaching of the jinn in the Quran, which assured them that Allah has no son. Isa is not the son of Allah because Allah could not have gotten married to the Virgin Mary and got her pregnant. Continue with verse 4, and that our fool was saying a transgression against Allah. Now we know it is foolish to believe in the Christian belief that Jesus is the Son of God. In verse 5 we read, and that we thought that the human and the jinn would not speak any lie against Allah. So who's speaking here? Oh, that must be Muhammad, or maybe Allah, or maybe somebody else who do not know who he is. But the truth is, now we know that the human and the jinn will not speak any lie against Allah. They're telling you the truth. Stop believing that Jesus is the Son of God, because we got the truth from the jinn themselves. Last verse, that is verse 6, and that some men of the humans had sought refuge with some men of the jinn. So they increased them in perversion. Imagine with me. Now we know that jinn have men as human have men. And when the men of the human sought refuge from the men of the jinn, the men of the jinn increased the men of the human in perversion. Now they are more evil than ever. Wow, we learn a lot about the jinn from the reading of the Quran. Once again, let me remind you, it is something named but does not exist. But all Muslims believe in them. Let me close with this very important piece of information because we have to say it. I mean, if jinn is like human and human like jinn, we know what we eat. We actually eat lots of food. And Allah in the Quran tells a Muslim what halal food they should eat and what haram forbidden food they should not eat. And that is very well known. But what about the jinn? If they are creatures like human, what do they eat? To show you how stupid the scholars of Islam or Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, I have to share this with you. You see, from the book, The Beginning and the End, that is written by the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir. We learn that from the hadith, we learn about a group of the jinn came to Muhammad while he was praying with his companions in the land of Mecca. So they stood. So they heard his readings to the Quran. Then the prophet met with them a whole night, speaking with them. So they asked him about the things he had commanded them to do and forbid them to do. And they asked him about provision. He said to them, every bone on which the name of Allah has been mentioned, you will find it to be the most abundant in meat. And all its dung is food for the jinn's animals. Imagine with me, these jinns we've been talking about for a long time, the eight bones, that is their meals. And somehow the dung is meal for their animals. I do not know how can Muslims read such teachings in their scholar Ibn Kathir's book, The Beginning and the End, and still believe in Muhammad and still believe in Islam. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.